Welcome to Financially Ever After, your podcast for navigating the financial side of divorce. I'm Josefti Cruz, and I'm here with my co-host, Jade Eagles.
We're here to remind you that divorce might be the end of one chapter, but it's also the start of a brand new journey filled with hope and growth.
Each episode, we'll share practical tips for financial empowerment and insights to make this journey a little less daunting.
So thank you for joining us and welcome to Financially Ever After.
Hey, Jade.
Hey, Joe. What's up?
We're starting a new podcast.
Oh, my God. Do you reckon anyone will listen?
No. I don't think so.
Well, I think I'm going to get my mum to listen in Australia.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
Well, it's exciting anyway. We've definitely been busy the last couple of weeks getting the studio ready, and I think we're ready to kind of, you know, release our first podcast there.
But what is it going to be about?
It's called Financially Ever After, and it's going to be an educational resource to educate people who are considering divorce or going through divorce to better position them and hopefully have a more amicable and more equitable divorce.
Informed divorce, right? And according to the National Center for Health Statistics, the failure rate for first marriages is 48%.
Damn.
In second or third marriages, the rate's worse. So
that's a really high number.
Fact is, a lot of people are going to get divorced. Half your friends might get divorced. We are divorced.
Well, I guess we already fall into that category then. So.
Yes, we are part of the 48%.
And to be honest, I think when we look at it, like we're both financial planners.
Yeah.
And I know for myself, and I know from talking to you and from, you know, our conversations, we're also a little bit clueless about the rules and the regulations and how best to protect ourselves and kind of navigate through that process.
The financial process of divorce.
The financial process, yes.
Right? Yeah.
Emotional process is another whole beast there.
So we're financial professionals, and at the time we did not know what to do. So,
well, we thought we did.
Or we thought we did, but we didn't. But now we know so much more, and we now want to be that resource for you. So I think for this podcast, what we really want to do is have our listeners understand the importance of financial planning.
Yep, that's
correct. In divorce proceedings. How to split accounts, for example, or what you should do if you currently don't work. And really just help people get through the financial part, the business part.
Yeah. I think we also want to, you know, touch on identifying, you know, those financial goals during a divorce. You know, we're going to be introducing certain terms which might sound a little bit foreign, whether it be equitable or equal. And hopefully we can kind of put a bit of a humorous spin to it and, you know, really just try and break it down so that it's easily to understand, because it is important.
And I stress financial goals because I think during divorce, it's such an emotional time.
What are you talking about? What, people get emotional during a divorce?
No, not at all. But anyway, yes. So I think financial and emotional goals sometimes get muddled.
Oh, wait. So like an emotional goal would be saying, I've got to keep the house no matter what.
Even no matter
if
what.
I can't financially afford to keep it.
Yeah, because I love my house and I put blood, sweat, and tears in it. I don't care if I go bankrupt. Well, you should care.
Wait, are you referring to my story?
Well, maybe.
Oh, okay. I don't know if
we can touch upon that some other time.
I don't know if I gave consent to that.
Yes.
Oh, well, okay.
So I think actually touching upon that, divorce has two sides to it, the emotional side and the business side. Mm-hmm. Business side meaning the financial aspect of dividing up assets and income and all of that stuff. That is the what I call the business side, right? And then there's the emotional side. Oh, I'm sad I'm getting divorced. I'm mad getting divorced, all that stuff. So I think both sides are very valid, but we want to make sure that we help our listeners figure, you know, understand that the two sides belong on opposite sides separately. Right? So you get your emotional needs met with certain professionals and you get your financial needs met separate from that. And hopefully you can make better decisions for your logical decisions, less based on emotion.
But I think also, you know, it's quite common though for those to be blended together, and we don't want to be criticizing people.
No.
I think we're definitely guilty of that ourselves.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think we've all had friends that we've relied on. Well, actually, Jade and I think separately had friends that we relied on to help us get through the divorce, each of our divorces. But I think it would have been helpful to have a professional that specialized in finances to help us, other than a friend that went through a divorce that has opinions.
And look, I think it's, you know, I know for me, it was one of those things where I just wanted it to be done. So there was a lot of concessions, which maybe there shouldn't have been concessions, or just to have it over and done with there, and for the detriment of me.
Right. Cause that's emotional, right? Just trying to get through it. Yeah. So, you know, again, the hope of this podcast is to keep it positive, you know, give you information so that you can make sound decisions in that way.
And I think really just be, and hopefully over time, you know, become a trusted resource that you can either, you know, rely on, you can reach out to, and also be providing that education for you during this really challenging, difficult time.
And since it is challenging, we really actually want this podcast to be positive.
I think we're going to have a little bit of fun at the end of each podcast.
Yeah, we'll keep it.
Bring it up a little bit.
We'll lighten the mood at the end of every episode, but you'll see.
Yeah.
but, you know, divorce is a transitional time, and we, you know, each person is in charge of their life. So you can make it into a tragedy. You can make it an opportunity to make these changes for the better, whether or not you were the one that wanted these changes. Mm-hmm. This is your opportunity to take a stand and think about this in a potentially positive manner. And we really want to be part of that journey with you. We're excited.
Yeah.
So I have always found, even with my regular financial planning clients, that anxiety tends to stem from not knowing and just guessing. Mm. I think I'm going to be fine. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Right. I think it'll be okay. I actually have no idea what my financial picture is, but it feels fine.
Yeah.
It feels fine. Yeah.
Well, my friend told me I'm just going to be fine. I'll get through
it. My friend told me I'm good.
Yeah.
Because they looked at my house and I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not always the case, right? So really what we want to help you figure out is, in black and white, right now, where you at, right? If it's great and you are indeed great, we want you to know for a fact. And if you're not in a great financial position, we want you to know that too, so that you have a baseline to get better.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not.
It's not always just giving you to hear the answers that you want to hear. To, you know, I think I think we need to be realistic that, you know, if there are areas that we need to be improving on, I know for a fact that I'm always wanting to at least learn that.
Yeah.
So I can improve.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know it's cheesy to say that, but it's true.
It's like some movie or something like that.
Yeah, sure. I think.
Except
that I don't know the names of any movies at all. So, but throughout this time, we're going to share our own mistakes from our divorces. So
that could take up a few
lots of fun stories, as well as sharing, you know, other anecdotes from our friends' divorces. Just because 48%, right?
Yeah.
And we know lots of people that have gotten divorced.
Yeah. Never a shorter, unfortunately, you know, but look, the more stories that we can share, I think they can hopefully then can resonate, and maybe one doesn't really apply to you, but you can go, oh, you know what? Actually, I can relate to that other story there. So I know, like, for a fact for myself, you know, when I was going through my divorce, you know, and Joe mentioned it earlier on in the episode here, that I had just finished fully renovating a house there. I wanted to do whatever possible it was so that I could, you know, retain ownership of that house there. I was looking at selling property overseas back in Australia. That's where I'm from.
I thought you were from
Britain, South
Louisiana,
Africa.
Louisiana, maybe?
Texas. I normally say Texas.
Okay,
Just to get that puzzled look on people's faces.
But Austria or Australia?
Very similar, the way that I pronounce it at least.
Okay.
So, but yeah, like I just wanted to keep that house no matter what. Which was really that emotional part of the brain thinking going, I don't care what I have to do. If I have to work a second, third job, I really want to keep that. At the time, my son was probably only 5 or 6. I was having to get him to and from childcare so that we already had long days. And then we're going to be going from a double income to a single income. I think in my mind, I was still thinking that I was on a double income. Realistically, if I was able to keep that house by selling other sort of assets, there's probably a good chance that in a couple of years' time, I wouldn't have been able to maintain that. And then I would have lost that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would have been, you know, ramifications and taxes as a result of having to sell that, which right. I really didn't take into account there.
Right.
Another thing that I want to kind of mention at this point in time is like not all assets are going to be, should be viewed equally as well. You know, I was just talking to a client the other week there and they swapped a $300,000 Roth for $300,000 in, you know, equity in a house.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same thing there. Unfortunately, it was already too late. It was a done deal. But, you know, I think what we're trying to do with this show is really give you examples like this where people have made those mistakes so that you don't make those same mistakes again.
So that you can slow down and make good decisions, informed decisions for yourself. So on the, you know, on the opposite extreme,
yep,
we don't want you to stop, right? So we do have another friend that it took 4 years to think about the divorce. I think that's probably not the ideal timeline either.
Yeah.
So we want to give you the information so that you can make the decisions instead of not making any, right? Analysis paralysis. So not analysis paralysis, but information to make knowledgeable and good decisions. So I was kind of opposite to Jade. I didn't want to keep my place. I was hoping that my spouse could buy me out and he couldn't. So I felt like one of us should keep it. So I ended up buying him out because I did have the assets, but because of my emotional state, I did not fully calculate the monthly carrying costs of keeping it. So even though I successfully was able to buy it off of him, I actually quickly found out I could not keep up with the monthly costs. So even though I still have it today, I did have to do like a Goldilocks thing for a few years. And I ended up having to quickly move out, rent a cheaper place, rent out the primary home. And I did that twice.
I was going to say, yeah, it wasn't once. And think of that during when you're going through that, though. There's all that additional
stress.
Stress and emotion is coming back into it again.
I was trying to have stability for my kids to stay in the same place. And instead, I moved them around 3 times.
Yeah.
So apartment number 1 for a year, apartment number 2 for another year and a half. And then finally, I was able to stabilize my financial situation and I was able to move back in. But I mean, can you imagine? I had to move so many times.
I do remember because I believed I was roped into those moves for you as well. So painting, moving.
Yes. Yeah,
it was not fun.
Yes.
And look, you know, sometimes that's just going to happen though. Like, but you know, if you can take more time
or methodical,
more methodical with your decision-making, you can maybe avoid that.
I think if we had an actual professional helping us through some of these decisions. And when I say professional, it's not going to be the lawyer or the mediator. They're there to legally help you get divorced. For the financial stuff, you need a financial professional. So there are professionals that specialize in divorce called certified divorce financial analysts or CDFAs. Many financial planners also specialize in just financial planning after divorce. Those are the types of people that can help you really dig into the data more so than a lawyer.
Yeah, that's what their skill set is.
Yeah, so, and it's not replacing the lawyer. In fact, lawyers would love for you to hire someone like this so that they do not have to stumble through the numbers with you because that's not the degree they got. They mm-hmm. got a degree in law. They didn't get a degree in math.
And most probably the hourly rate is a lot higher.
The lawyers
is a lot higher too. And it's really just building out that professional team for you.
Yeah. And maybe saving you a little money while being more effective, right?
Yeah.
So.
No, because you can actually not even involve the lawyers. You can still just have a mediator and then have like one of those professionals that you mentioned about kind of being brought into that mediation.
To crunch the numbers.
To crunch the numbers. Because once again, the mediator, the attorneys generally not going to have that specialty. They might, in a bigger law firm, they probably maybe have a department or something like that. But
maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah. I know my mediator had no idea how to crunch numbers.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
So, and look, and I expected that person to know, but now that I understand the process better, that was a wrong assumption for me to make. That's not their specialty. They're there to get you divorced.
Yeah.
So we mentioned at the beginning that the first marriage typically, or first marriages typically have a 48% failure rate.
This is, is this globally or in the US?
This is in the US.
Okay.
Yeah. And they tend to last for 8 to 9 years. So I guess I'm proud to say I am part of the statistic. Yeah. I don't know if proud is the word for it, but.
I fall in that. I get lumped in that category.
I was at eight years, I think. Second marriages actually have a even worse failure rate, 60%, and they tend to last 7 to 10 years.
Well, this is exciting news.
Let's guess. Let's take a guess. Third marriages. What is the failure rate for that, Jade?
Slightly a bit above that, 70%. Mm. And going back to that 5 to 8 years. So, yeah,
it's like, I'm not going to put up with any more of this, right? So the marriage gets shorter.
I don't know if that's ending in divorce or is that when one of them kicks the bucket, though?
I don't know.
Third marriage.
Well, like, a friend did tell us that, you know, in their town, sometimes the third marriages end in their 20s. So who knows? Yeah, they're not going to kick the bucket in their 20s.
You know, I found it really interesting that the little beautiful island of the Maldives in the Indian Ocean actually has the highest divorce rate, even though they're in paradise, which
you know,
it was like
5 point something for every 1,000.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Unfortunately, I don't remember where we saw that stat, but it was on a map.
Yeah.
And it did rank all the countries.
It was definitely interesting. And maybe even for a future conversation there, it's like, why do certain countries have a higher divorce rate than others? Than, you know, like, down the south of us, we're in here in California. Mexico is below 1 in every 1,000. You know, I'm wondering if there's something about the lifestyle, whether it be religion as well, kind of plays into that at all there.
Mm-hmm.
Social media. I don't know.
I don't know. So many things, so many cans of worms that we opened up, but we are approaching the end of the episode. So,
but we're going to
play. We're going to play this little game called Divorce This or That.
And what do we do in Divorce This or That? I think this is where
we give the person two hard choices and they have to give one up.
Yeah.
Right?
So, and I haven't told, we don't know which ones I'm going to tell Joe, and Joe doesn't know what I'm going to tell her.
Yeah,
so.
I just thought of one right now, and I don't know. I think you might want to divorce both, but I'm going to make you, I'm going to make you pick.
They not have anything to do with Disneyland in it, I'll tell you now.
All right. So should I go first? All right, well, Jade.
Ladies first.
Jade,
yeah.
Divorce This or That.
Okay.
Frozen vegetables.
Oh, not even a choice.
Frozen vegetables or fast food.
Oh, that is a tough one.
Yeah. Divorce.
And I only have to pick one?
Yes. If you could never have it again.
Well, can I nitpick this a little bit? Do I get to
We only have so much time.
Pick which fast food restaurants I cut out. Because, you know, a good kebab or something like that, I'm down for that.
So fast food meaning drive-through, has to have a drive-through.
Mm.
Frozen vegetables.
I feel like the clock stopwatch is on me there.
Frozen produce or
get rid of fast food. Rid of fast food, sorry.
So why are you going to keep frozen vegetables? I really thought you were going to get rid of that instead.
Yeah, that's a good point. I actually don't
know. Because what are you going to do when we travel, or if you travel and you need to like desperately get a McDonald's hamburger?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I'd walk in to a place that more of a sit down.
All right.
Whatever. I don't know. That's a tough one there. So I've got one for you, Joe.
Okay.
And I don't know how you're going to answer it either.
All right.
Shoes inside. So Joe doesn't like to have any shoes worn inside of her house. She even wipes down her dog's feet with wipes. And
he appreciates it.
And it's butt. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Shoes inside. Or bare feet that have been outside, like dirty feet.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Is there a difference?
There's no difference.
But you have to pick one.
There's no difference. What if your bare feet, like, step on poop and then come back inside? It's just like dirty shoes.
Well, I've given you the choice.
Oh, my God. Bare feet, I guess, because then you didn't say that I couldn't wipe the bare feet. So I'm gonna forcibly wipe.
Yeah, there we go.
Or I'm gonna have a puddle of water, like a little tank of water that you have to step into.
Little rocks or something like that.
Yeah.
Like from Bali or something. That would look nice.
Yeah. All right. That's it. All right, that wraps up our first episode of Financially Ever After. We will be here on a bi-weekly basis, and we hope you join us.
Yeah, thank you for joining us today. And yeah, talk to you in a couple of weeks' time.
With our next topic. Jade and Joe are advisors of the Wealth Guard NFS, an SEC registered investment advisor. The information is general and educational in nature and should not be considered financial, tax, or legal advice. It is not intended to serve as a substitute for personalized advice or as a recommendation or solicitation of any particular security, strategy, or investment product. Please consult with a qualified professional about your individual situation.
Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where the Wealth Guard Financial Services and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by the Wealth Guard Financial Services unless a client service agreement is in place.